So I was just watching my episode of Ask Hank Anything where I had Vic Michaelis on, which it looks like it's going to be the most popular episode of that show that we ever do. So if you want to check it out, we had a very good time. But Vic asked me my favorite question of season one of Ask Hank Anything, which was,
can someone have the most DNA?
This is my favorite question anyone's ever asked on the show.
Ever?
Is my, so far.
And I did a bunch of work to figure out who has the most DNA. And my basic answer was, you're talking about like volume of DNA or like molecular weight of DNA. That's going to be somebody who's very large and has a lot of muscle. So just the bigness means they have more cells. There are some animals like tardigrades that grow larger just by having their cells get bigger. That's not how we are. We grow larger by having more cells. So if you are bigger, you have more cells, and so you have more DNA. And muscles have a lot of DNA. Like an individual muscle cell might have more than one nucleus. Whereas like fat cells don't have as much DNA because they don't have to do as much. They're just there to store energy, not to actually use energy. So a big muscly man would be the person with the most DNA. But the more interesting question, and it has gotten pretty complex in my brain, and I think I kind of got it wrong, maybe a little bit, in my answer, is not just like molecular weight, but the number of genes. So I have just two pairs of chromosomes, and I'm gonna have that genome, and that's it. Except I could possibly be a microchimera with my mom's DNA, because I was inside of my mom, and so some of her cells might still be in me. This is a thing that happens. It's actually not that unusual. I probably do, and so do you, probably have a little bit of your mom's DNA inside of you. I mean, we all have, from both of our parents, we have their DNA, but we might also have some of the pure genome, not just the half that we got from our moms, but all of mom's DNA. That includes both bits that she got from her mom and her dad. And so that's a little bit that probably most of all of us have. The thing I brought up in the episode is what's called a chimera, where like two zygotes fuse early on in development, and that becomes a person who has DNA of both zygotes spread throughout their body. But importantly, and I didn't consider this, these are going to be sibling zygotes. So they're only going to have DNA that could be from their dad and from their mom. They're not going to get any genes that are outside of those two people. Now they're going to have extras. They're going to have some genes from their dad and some genes from their mom in one that aren't in the other one. But no matter how many times this happens, and it really only happens once, you are only ever going to have the DNA of those two people. So the maximum number you could have is all of the genes from the father and the mother. And when it comes to microchimerism, like when I have some from my mom, I'm not going to get any from anybody but my mom. There's also microchimerism the other way, where when a person gives birth, they keep some of the cells of that baby. Forever. I mean, for a long time anyway. It's not actually clear whether it's forever, but for a long time, they could establish a, like, dividing colony of cells, and they could show up all over the body. You can find them in the thyroid, you can find them in the brain, you can find them in the liver, you can find them in the blood. This is wild. But again, half of that DNA is gonna come from you, so that's not new genome. And the other half is gonna come from the other parent. And that might be more than one. So if a woman has a bunch of babies from different fathers, then in that circumstance, there's going to be a bunch of fetal microchimera cells inside of that person living in their body, and they're going to have parts of the genomes of that other guy. Now, this is stretching it, but like there's 8 billion people on Earth, so there's probably folks who have a lot of babies from a lot of baby daddies. But if you have one daughter, you've got to understand that she is by the same father as herself. So that's fun, but these are very small populations of cells, but this isn't what we're talking. Like, the question is, the most genes from the most sources. So maybe the person with the most DNA, and I'm going to give you another option after this, but maybe the person with the most DNA in terms of individual genes is somebody who has many different fetal cells from several different fathers because they've had like 14 babies and they've all crossed the placental wall into the body and taken up residence permanent or at least semi-permanently. Like they're in there and they're not being destroyed. The body has learned to tolerate them. Now these cells are going to be a vanishingly small percentage of the total cells in the body, but that's not what we're talking about. The rule we established for this second thing, so you got the big muscly man who just has the most by kilodaltons, by like molecular weight of DNA. But then you have this other situation where it's like we're looking at individual genes, and in that case, fetal microchimerism probably is the thing that's doing it. But there's another option, which I didn't consider and is important to consider, which is people who have received various organ donations. So if you have like a kidney inside of you that's not yours, that still has the cells of another person in it, which is why you have to take transplant drugs so that your body doesn't reject. And in the same way, even more so even, if you have had a bone marrow transplant, then you definitely have the cells of another person, those blood cells. All the blood cells in your body, including the white blood cells, are derived from the donor. So you've had all the bone marrow in your body killed, and then you've got new bone marrow put into the side of your body, and then that colonized your bones, and you've got new bone marrow from these other people. And it's possible that you have had that twice. I don't think that anybody's ever had three bone marrow transplants. I know people have two bone marrow transplants. I think by the time you have two, they kind of say, doing another one. It's just just going to do more harm than good. At this point, whatever blood cancer you have is just too robust and able to withstand treatment that doing a third won't work. But in that case, if you've had two, then you have all of your cells, and then you have the bone marrow cells of your first donor, which are entirely a different genome, not a related person, so not like sharing genes the way that if it's like two siblings that combined in the womb, or if it's me having some cells from my mother, which I already have some of her DNA, so that's not gonna like double the number of genes that I have. But in this case, it does double the number of genes, and then in the third case, it would triple the number of genes when you got the second bone marrow transplant, because some of the ones from the original transplant are gonna stick around. So if your cells, the first donor cells, and the second donor cells, you have three complete sets of fresh genes from different people. And in that case, these aren't like tiny insignificant colonies. The bone marrow is a lot of cells. It's a huge amount of your body. Most of the cells in your body are blood cells. As I said in the episode, those cells don't have DNA in them. Like some of them do, white blood cells do, but red blood cells don't. But there's tons of bone marrow cells. So in this case, it's a real substantial amount of the body that has different DNA. And I would say that I should have included that in the answer. And the fetal microchimerism thing, it feels like more of a technicality. I think that you could get, if you had enough people that you made babies with over your life, enough dads of your babies, the fresh DNA from each one of those guys, you'd end up with more genes than if you had two bone marrow transplants. But interestingly, I do have a friend who has had two bone marrow transplants, and I'm gonna talk to her soon, and so I may hit her with the reality that she is definitely up there in the top echelon of people who have the most DNA. So that's cool and weird.
Okay, I had already made this video. I was out of town, ready to upload, but then I got an email, and this guy, Eddie, let me know that in fact, there are times when bone marrow transplants don't fully take, so part of this person's bone marrow is gonna be from a donor, but then they have to do another one, and the most he's ever seen that done is four times, meaning that probably it's been done five, just because he's personally seen it done four times. And if a person has had five different bone marrow donors, which seems possible, then I'm willing to say that that person is the person who has the most DNA. And if that's happened to more than one person, then the one who has given birth, because then they will also have this embryonic microchimerism going on. So they'll have their own genome, the genomes of five other people bumping around in their bone marrow, and then also some microchimerism going on. And then also maybe if there's more than one of those, it's the one who's largest, who just has the most inches or otherwise the most cells, is the person with the most DNA, I think. If you'd like to call me out on that and give me another reason why I might be wrong about this, let me know.
And now we're going to play Connections. But first, I was recently reminded, not everybody knows that I have written novels. I wrote two novels. The first one, An Absolutely Remarkable Thing, and its sequel, A Beautifully Foolish Endeavor. So here it is on Amazon, 9,000 ratings. It has sold pretty well. We've got John Scalzi here saying, funny, thrilling, an absolute blast to read. That's a big deal for me because I love myself some John Scalzi. Lev Grossman says, pure book joy. This read is timely and sorely needed. Now, this was from 2018, but I keep hearing from people, this book is about the internet. It's about what it's like to be a person on the internet, and it is also a first contact story. It is also a science fiction book. But is it? Kind of, but also no. I got a starred review in Kirkus. That was a really big deal for me. Green applies wit, affection, and cultural intelligence to a comic sci-fi novel, a fun contemporary adventure that cares about who we are as humans, especially when faced with remarkable events. And we just keep being faced with remarkable events. This book is available on Audible. This book is available as an ebook. I'm sure it's fairly inexpensive as an ebook. Let's see what they got. $0 with membership. Oh, look, the hardcover you can get right now for $6.69. Now, that might not be for a long time because I'm sure that's a used bookstore. I wrote this book because I wanted people to read it. I keep forgetting to tell people to check it out. The genius of Hank Green's book lies in the way he skillfully mixes such a variety of topics and messages and melds them brilliantly into a gem of a first novel. I don't mean to brag, but that's just what somebody said. Patrick Rothfuss says, fun and full of truth. To be honest, I'm a little irritated at how good the book is. I don't need this kind of competition. So check it out. And now I'm going to play Connections. Contact. That's a book. Number is probably a book. Exchange. Insurance. Arrival. Arrival and Contact are science fiction movies. College. Market. Position. Almanac. Flight. Dealings. Team. Gate. Tan? Destination. Interaction. Well, this turned out to be nothing. Arrival. Flight. Destination. Is there a fourth one? Gate! It's things that they put on the board at the airport. Excellent. That seems yellowy to me, but maybe not. Market. Dealings. Almanac. Insurance. Interaction. Exchange. Dealings? Market? I feel like there's something there. Some kind of like finance thing. Exchange. Dealings. Interaction. And market. I don't know. It feels like something. Tan. Position. Number. college. Position number college, team. Those are sports things. The position you play, your number, your college, and your team. That's what like they show you when the little robot's jumping around on Fox and it shows the guy's name. So I got two. I think I've got two. And number, if this is it. Wait, is there another one? Tan is weird. Tan France, the Queer Eye guy, but there's no other of those people. Interaction, exchange, dealings, market, and that would leave us with what? What's the other one? What if, like, you get in a car accident and you exchange your insurance and your contact information and your tan and your almanac? Contact lens? Contact. There's a lot of things that contact means, like to make contact, your contact information. Dealings? Market, dealings, tan, almanac. We're gonna have an exchange. We're gonna have some dealings. We're going to have an interaction. We're going to have a market. We're gonna make contact. We're gonna have contact. So with this one, market, tan, almanac, insurance. What is tan doing in there? Like, I get a little something out of almanac, market, insurance. We have an exchange, we'll have an interaction, we have dealings, we have contact. That seems right. That seems like when two groups of people are interacting, they have like a cultural exchange, they have dealings, they have an interaction, they have contact. All right, well, then I guess I'll go for insurance, almanac, tan market and find out what I'm missing here. Yes! Farmers things? Farmers almanac, farmers insurance, farmers market, farmers tan. Okay, well, I was not going to get that. I don't know what the next one is. This college thing, number position, college team position. Yeah. Pro athlete data. Great. And then I don't know which one of these is which. I'm going to go with arrival, flight, gate, and destination. Woo! Yes! 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 Perfect! How'd I do? Are you going to show me? Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it does. It wasn't too hard. Okay. Well, you know, but who got the purple first, right? Tell me. Not a lot of people. But, oh, New York Times people did not get pro athlete data. I actually got that. I watch sports sometimes. All right, I'm going to send this to my wife. Check out my book. Just check it out. Go to the website and see if maybe you want to buy it. They're cheap now because it's been out for a while. I wrote books, novels. I'd love to have as many readers as possible. Thanks.